comments on Saturday.
Thank you, Sam. I would like to look around the table and see what the first opinions and impressions are in response to what Sam was asking. Anybody willing to take the floor first? And
you may repeat or summarize the question.
Just to some straightforward comments, when I'm listening to Sam, what comes into my mind is following. I think you're absolutely right with we need more senior people in the mentoring and doing the mentoring. And Rudy, what about thinking about actually pairing up people, SOAC leaders, with people? I mean, that might be straightforward use. The other thing, what came to mind, Sam, when we were talking about the relationship with other NGOs, maybe we should not look at NGOs just as our clients and who we represent and who we want as members, but we should have a mechanism where basically when topics like human rights, when things come up, that we can refer it inside the membership and can say, okay, this is not strictly NPOC, but here you should get engaged and here you should do something. So that is a kind of mechanism. And maybe even how we present ourselves to the membership and to in the outreach, slightly adjust it in that way or just add that aspect to it. These are the first thoughts I had on this.
Thank you, Klaus. Rudy, for the transcript. Quickly to your first question and comment. For those who don't know, there is already an improvement inside the mechanism of ICANN to listen to the community by having, since I think this is the fourth ICANN meeting, having the SOAC leadership meetings that are taking place before the ICANN meeting starts, and we will have at the end also, with Fadi, with the CEO and his senior staff, to touch upon issues that we have discovered being problematic, if I may say, for our communities. And one of the proposals, well, there are three working groups. I'm not going to touch upon the two others, but the one that I'm in and that I'm trying to focus as much as possible is about engaging more volunteers in what ICANN does, point, and in our constituencies. That was the big mission. One of the items that are popping up in it is that we are looking into how to organize the mentorship mechanism across the community and across the constituencies so that the ideas we have brought up yesterday to mentor people that are newcomers, not necessarily fellows, people that comes to an ICANN meeting, what's this here? What? This is chaotic. I don't know where I have to go. There is no overview. There is no mechanism that allows a newcomer to know where to go. And still, for instance, and I will take that again up for improvement, for Dublin, outside, nobody sees that NPOC is sitting inside. That's a failure. It's a mistake. We need to work on that too. But it's also ICANN's mission to check and see, hey guys, maybe you should have a panel. In most of the congresses and conferences I'm going outside of ICANN, you can easily see outside the room what's going on. Even in ISOC, when we have our meetings, outside the meeting room, you see which meeting is going on. So that's something I'm going to bring to the table to improve. And to come back to the mentorship, I think it's up to us to give ideas. So I've been asked to elaborate on this, and I'm looking around the table and asking you, please feel free to give me ideas so that I can bring them back to the high-level meetings and improve that. I see, Martin, you're raising your hand. You have the floor?
Yes.
I don't know if this is an idea to bring up to the panel or not, but something that I've been moving around, at least in Latin America, looking for NGOs that may be interested in participating, and on the other hand, they reached me to ask me about MPOC, and most of them said the same thing, that is that participating in MPOC for them is really not a top priority on their list, and their funds and their staff has to go to more basic problems. And I think some NGOs that do more specific work on internet governance are really better prepared to at least represent, or let's say, to communicate the concerns that we are dealing here. So if we have a concern regarding, for instance, the new round of GTLDs, we could use these already engaged NGOs that do internet law, or that do NGO outreach in internet, ICT for development. We could use those partners to communicate this question. MPOC is asking for NGOs' opinion in the new round of GTLDs. I think we should really use the NGOs that are already interested in the work of MPOC as at least places to do outreach of communication. What do we want? What are we asking to the community? And in some cases, even to help NGOs that doesn't have enough resources to participate here to have a voice. And I think that's something we haven't addressed yet.
Well, thank you, Martin.
One more thing. It's also places like universities, for instance, that are already hubs of NGOs, already hubs of these kind of things.
Thank you, Martin, Rudy, for the transcript. To add to what you said is that already this year and for this meeting, we have been sending around to our community the invitation and highlighted the importance of signing up for the fellowship. As we have now, and we missed that function previously, we have now Joan, who is taking care of the membership, and she has also an action plan. I see she raised her hand, so I will give her the floor. But we are improving little by little. We are a small team, and we cannot do everything at the same time, so that's one of the initial difficulties. But we are really improving very well. We have already two or three fellows from our community, and I discovered that, painful to say, that NCUC had something like 12, 15 approved. So we're going also to ask for some balance in the approvals. But I would like to give the floor to Joan. She raised her hand. And then, Sam, you have the floor next.
Great. Joan Kerr, for the record. I really love the idea of the mentorship, of course. But what I keep hearing from when I speak to people about MPOC and what it is, and there's a lot of confusion about what we do and what NCUC does. So I think we need to clarify that, if for nothing else in our sessions, but definitely on the website. But the other item that keeps coming up is the people's ability to find information about ICANN, not necessarily MPOC, but ICANN as a whole. I think we, if we could have something that a page that says here are the resources to finding information, because each time I hear information be given, there's another website to go to, like policy. Go, if you want policy, go to this website. If you want it, go to this website. And people are like, oh, you know, yes, it's easy to attain. I see you shaking your head, so you're in agreement. But an NGO, when they're looking for information, they don't want to go to 10 websites. They want to go to one website and maybe a click. Am I correct?
Yes. Yeah.
So I'm just thinking, and again, you know, I'm letting it out there that it's not just the committee that should be doing this work. You know, we need helping hands. A baby learns to walk by a parent or an adult holding both hands for them to walk, correct? So, you know, help us, but we want to have those kinds of information on our website, and I just thought I would put that out there, that that's something I'm willing to work on if somebody would want to work with me with that.
Thank you, John, and I need to add to that, that's also part of what we are handling at the SOAC leadership meetings with Vadi, and we are ICANN is trying to help us also at that level. Many things are going on at the same time, and it makes it not easy to catch at the right time. Chris Gift, who is responsible for communications in ICANN, is working now on integrating in the ICANN website our individual websites in such a way when you query NPOC that you get our web pages, our website, and all stuff that is related to NPOC in one response. And I'm asked to collaborate with them to see if we can improve that also. So many things are going on, and the improvement is there. We still need to wait a little bit to see the results of this, I agree. But
my reason for bringing it up is that I see a lot of people asking the same questions, and I'm willing to create a group to start to work on it, is all I'm saying.
I'm taking that up as an action point for the next few meetings and meeting calls we are going to have. I have Sam in the queue and then Klaus.
Okay. I'll say this very quickly. I've been working in the digital ecosystem for 40 years before the internet, so I'm very impatient. I haven't mellowed at all. Age didn't mellow me. With respect to the mentorship, I just want to make an aside here. I have been mentoring one of the fellows from a couple of years ago, and he has not turned up at this internet, at this ICANN meeting. And the reason he didn't show up, and I threatened to break his leg if he did show up, is that the President of the United States invited him to a four-month training session for young African leaders in Washington, and he had to choose between that and coming here. And I told him, you do not come here, you go there. So I think he'll be one of our success stories. He will be back. The other is, and this may surprise some people, today our sister organization in NCSG, NCUC, published the results of its survey of its membership. I want to just highlight 2 points from that survey of the membership of NCSG. The first is that NCSG members, for the most part, don't have a clue as to what MPOC is. Not a clue. The second is that in the NCSG volunteer participation, it basically boils down to less than 24 people who have been involved with ICANN for from 3 years to longer. In other words, there are challenges there, an aging cohort within the organization that basically carries all the load or else dominates it, either depending on your political viewpoint there. But it's worth reading to see what their challenges are, and they have considerable challenges, to reflect back on our challenges as a young organization. I keep telling people, paraphrasing President Kennedy, if you are an NGO coming to ICANN, you shouldn't ask, what can I bring to NCANN? ICANN, you should ask, what can I get from ICANN? What can I get for my organization's mission and vision? Because you will hear over and over again, we need more of you. We need you involved in ICANN's working groups and ICANN's discussion groups. We need your presence. Yes, we need all that, but we're not going to get it unless we are delivering to you the constituency, what the constituency needs to prosper in the internet ecosystem.
Thank you, Sam. Next, I have Klaus, and then I just recognize that we have Vice President Jean-Jacques Sahel in the room, who is, in fact, if I may say, our responsible for our community. And Klaus, you have the floor, and then we see if Jean-Jacques wants to address us.
Just a very, very quick comment to what you said about the materials. I would not only say not to have the information about ICANN. I think there's a lot of information about ICANN around. The question is to have it in a human language. And the other thing is, and I really, I don't like to talk about now the NGSG and NCUC, and then I was thinking exactly the opposite, because in order to serve our constituencies and to serve our clients, we actually have to tackle that problem again if we want it or not. And I want to give you, from my perspective, how I see things. I want to say, and I want to say it in public, that I think that the NCUC is doing a great job, and they're doing a very important job, and they're doing something which I think is absolutely right. This said, I don't think it has anything to do what we are doing, and what I'm objecting to is to be basically in the same in the non-commercial stakeholder group like the NCUC. I think we are doing something completely different functions and completely different things. And I was very, very much alarmed to hear one of the board members at the beginning of the week talking to us and saying, wouldn't it be a good solution if we merge NCUC with NPOC? And when the perception like that is in a board member, then something is basically wrong in what we are doing and how we are showing ourselves. And I would actually think, in out of the interest of serving our membership, I think we should really start finding ways to sort out that problem once and for all. And might it be that Rudy, you're trying to find official talks with the leadership of NCUC or whatever, but I think we have to think to solve that problem in one way or another, because it will be festering and festering and festering. It doesn't serve NCUC, it doesn't serve NPOC, it doesn't serve the people we are supposed to serve, and it doesn't serve ICANN. We need to get that one out of the way in one way or another. But as I said, I think the basic problem is we are talking about completely different things underneath as the same cover, and we have to change that.
I'm Rudy Vanstick for the transcript. I catch that, Klaus, although I think that our priority first was, before you can speak at same levels and have a balanced discussion, I first wanted to have NPOC itself being strong enough to send out the message. And that was the first task that I took up, becoming the chair. I thought it was important that NPOC came in the ICANN community with one voice, the noses all in the same direction. And that was not the case when a year ago, we have to be honest. We are actually now on the path of going for a second mandate, going for a second year, and improve ourselves. There is indeed the need for discussion, but I think that that discussion is something that has to happen together with the leadership in ICANN in order to have a clear view. I'm quite honest on the on how to define where NPOC is still not empowered to have the right voice. It's about all about the numbers again. If you want to allow newcomers that have ambition to step up, use the different structures that are existing in ICANN and become a counselor. Once I want to become a counselor, that's my ambition too. But we don't have enough voting power today to get our candidates elected. We have to be clear and honest. That's the reality, because five individuals are overruling one large organization. And you can quickly make the calculation. As you see, they say they have 400 members, from which 300 are individuals. It's quite simple. We can never, never get over that. And that's the first issue that I would like to take care of, is how can we balance the votes so that there is a democratic approach in allowing NGOs to have a voice. It's not simple, I know. But if you don't have voting power, you're blocked. You get stuck, you cannot let people go up at a higher level and defend our positions.
Sorry that I'm budging in here, Rudy, but I think you also need to mention that there is a fundamental problem in you can't put into the same voting system an organization which allows organizations and individual members, and then have the same thing, an organization which only allows organizations. You will never get any kind of equilibrium. And also taking advantage of that I'm speaking and that Jean-Jacques is here, I would like his opinion and how you see this and how you actually in your leadership and in your work realize that, because we notice you are doing events with NCUC, which we are no part of, and we are getting, for example, yesterday, some flack again by being told by NCUC, you don't invite us to your events and things like that. How do you deal with it?
Thank you, Klaus. I would like to give the floor to Jean-Jacques, and maybe you can clarify the situation.
Thank you very much. So what I'd like to do is give you a little bit of an overview of our approach to civil society engagement generally, a bit of context, and then I come back to and address some of the points that Sam and Rudy and Klaus have just mentioned. Maybe I should start by saying, you know, some of the points that you're making may concern a future GNSO review, and this is not my role to get in there. This is for you as stakeholders to discuss amongst yourselves and sort out. So I won't go into the sort of longer-term structural discussions that you may have, and I shouldn't have an opinion on it in a way. But I think there's a few things that we can do which might be able to help on a very practical basis and in straight away rather than in the longer term if there's ever a GNSO review, etc. So in terms of context, I am part of a team called Global Stakeholder Engagement within ICANN. Fadi sometimes calls us our ICANN's diplomats. I don't know if that's the right description, but anyway. And we've got four key streams of engagement within that. We've got engagement with business. That's business in the broad sense, you know, the big companies that are involved, whether it's people like Amazon or the big telcos and others. That's led by my colleague Chris Mondini, who is also the Vice President for Stakeholder Engagement in North America. We have technical engagement, which is, technical community engagement, I should say. And we've got now a new Vice President for Technical Engagement, who is Adiel Akplogan, who a lot of you will know from having run AfriNIC in the past. So he's working closely with our Chief Technology Officer, David Conrad, to engage with the technical community, the RIPES and ITFs of this world. Then we have, of course, government engagement. So there's a dedicated team for that that's led by Tarek Kamel, the Senior Advisor to the CEO. I think there's a team of four or five now. They deal with individual governments, they deal with the GAC and engaging the GAC, and then engaging with, for instance, intergovernmental organizations like the UN. And then there's a very broad category, which for expediency, I guess, we would call civil society. And civil society is not a term that, as far as I know, is defined in ICANN's parlance as such. It's defined by various people in various organizations. I actually did a search last week online to try and find a good definition of it. And even within the UN system, I found lots of different definitions and not very good ones. So that's an issue. So, and that goes to some of the points that you've made. So the way I'm trying to look at it, and that's something that I'd like to evolve with your input and feedback, is trying to consider civil society as being NGOs, individual end users, and to an extent, academia. Because to an extent, they don't fall in the other buckets, and they broadly link with civil society. And I'd be more than happy to get your feedback on that, either now or later. But that's to give it a broad scope. Now, then if we look at ICANN's community, as I said, we don't have a definition of civil society. We don't have a civil society constituency as such. But we do have two and a half constituencies which have got elements of civil society. The at-large community does have civil society elements. And then you've got NCSG, and under it, NPOC and NCUC that have, that I think are arguably all civil society. And I'll come in a minute to the specifics. So that was sort of the scope. Now, what we've been doing for the past year or so, since Fadi asked me to try and engage in a more structured way with civil society, has been to try and pilot a few formats and a few events and a few ways of supporting our constituencies. So, for instance, we have organized webinars aimed at civil society to talk, for instance, about the INS stewardship transition. We have run workshops aimed at civil society. For instance, recently we had the German IGF, and we ran a small event the night before where we gathered, thanks to the help of the IGF organizers, we gathered a few civil society folks from the German-speaking countries. And so we've tried a few formats. And also, we've tried to support the various constituencies themselves, such as, for instance, as I think was mentioned earlier, simple things like helping you in kind by lending an office or a room, for instance, for you to run a workshop. And then also supporting the various communities in the run-up to the ICANN meetings by booking rooms, providing some catering on occasion, etc., whether it's to NCUC or NPOC, or if ALEC want to do their own thing, we can, of course, support them. What we'd like to do in the next financial year, which starts from July onwards, is to try and give a bit more structure to it. And it's nothing completely new, but it's basically a sort of three key elements of how we'd like to structure our engagement for civil society. One is around content and communications. And that's where I'm glad to have had quite a bit of interaction already with Klaus and Rudy and the various surveys that they have run to try and tease out a bit of information about both what makes NGOs tick, what interests them in, or how they could be interested in domain names, and why then, or how we could communicate better to them on why they should be interested in ICANN and maybe even participate. So there's a whole stream of work that we need to do in terms of assessing what is needed out there, but also, and importantly, catalogue the communications that we already have. I'll come back to that in a second. I won't be much longer, but because that goes very much to the points that you were just making. Communications is a key issue here, underlying a lot of the points that you've made. Now, the two other pillars next to content is engagement activities. So it's a mix of what I was mentioning before, webinars, events aimed at civil society, before the ICANN meetings, before a local IGF, or indeed in the margins of an existing civil society conference, for instance. So as an example, you might know of RightsCon, which is a fairly big conference that's moving around the globe every year. Last year, we had a panel there that my colleagues in AsiaPAC organized, which was a panel around ICANN and internet governance. And so there we go to the NGO communities in this particular instance and try to explain to them what is ICANN, what is relevant to them, etc., and try to encourage them to join us. And then the third aspect, which is quite broad and goes to some of the points that Sam was making earlier, is about capacity building. Capacity building in terms of things like just awareness raising, information, etc., for the wider civil society community out there, simply to let them know about ICANN, what we do here, etc., which is a lot of what you do. So again, and by the way, everything that I say here is something that's not just staff. This is supposed to be with you all in partnership with the constituencies. And then there's capacity building in terms of some of the learning programs that are being developed, the academy and things like that, where there's a number of schemes that have been piloted, and we need to put a bit of order in there. Going to your point, I think, Sam, earlier about coaching people, helping especially newcomers to come in, understand better how it all works, and be more impactful in the policy-making discussions. I think you were talking earlier about how some of the people are aging, maybe, and they need to be replaced. Well, we need to train those people, get people equipped so that they can take some of the positions in the future and have a genuine impact and make sure that civil society's voice in ICANN is impactful. So I just wanted to give you a quick overview of how we're looking at our engagement to civil society. Now, to some of the points that you raised, we've got those three communities that broadly represent civil society. And as I said, it's broad. It's not a very clear-cut definition. And I think it will be very important going forward that we try and clarify our messages so that it's both within the organization, but also and especially for newcomers. So when they come here, I mean, I think I've got a decent understanding of NPOC and what you guys do and what makes you different to NCUC. But then even for ALAC, I don't think they've got a really good definition of exactly how they fit in there, because you can be a member of ALAC and you can be a member of NPOC. And it's really important if we do outreach, if we do engage with people outside, that we are making it as clear as possible, that we avoid confusing them. I mean, we've got a couple of newcomers here. I hope they get a better feel today. But if I look here at the brochure, for instance, you've got the description in the middle here, which talks about representing the concerns of civil society with a registered domain name, apprising members on domain protection, offering education to enable not-for-profits to operate by keeping updated on the issues of the internet, ICANN, and the domain name system. That, to me, is very clear. I know that's NPOC's mission. But then if I look on the left, it says creating a space for civil society to engage, informing the not-for-profit sector about issues that will impact their ability to implement the organization's missions, and providing information about internet policy and issues. That's not specific to NPOC. I would guess, you know, we could say that about NCUC and to an extent probably about at large. We need to think about that, because in how we communicate externally in particular, in how we communicate to newcomers, it's going to be really important that they really get how it fits. And probably some people could be members of all those three constituencies for slightly different reasons. But I think it'll be really important that you help us in crafting the right messages, in making sure we've got the right content online, during our external events, etc. So I think I'm hoping a lot of the concerns that you've raised on a day-to-day basis we can address by really improving the way we communicate, being clearer and clearer. It might not be easy all the time. Sometimes there will be very few distinctions. But, as I said, when I read your brochure in the middle, I've got a very clear idea of what NPOC is. I'm not sure that we've got the same clarity, for instance, for ALAC. And maybe we can help working together with the constituencies to improve that. I'll stop here because I've spoken a lot. Sorry. No,
thank you very much, Jean-Jacques, Rudy, for the transcript. I'm watching the clock, and I know that there is a team that is not scheduled in the agenda, the official agenda, but has booked the room. We thought we had till 1 o'clock, but we had to take care of the fact that they can jump in and kick us out. Picking up on the last point you brought, coming from the at-large, I know what they do, and you see we have at-large people joining us already. We have been understanding each other this week that we need to collaborate on specific domains. My message that I'm sending to people that don't know both of the structures and ask to give an identification of what's the difference, one of the easiest one that I can give is at large gives advice that doesn't have any binding rule to the board. While in NPOC, being in the GNSO, we are writing policy where the board cannot avoid saying, thanks very much, till the next time. That's the big difference. If you want to have the role to change rules and policy, this is the space to be. But you can, with other colleagues of your organization, influence at the advice side. Because when I came over, just to close that point, when I came over to NPOC, I told, Fali was the first time at the Eurelo meeting in Lisbon, it was the General Assembly in Lisbon, and I said, I'm going to leave at large. I said, well, no way, you have to stay. He said, no, I have to bridge. There's another entity that needs the work that ALAC is doing. And the goal that I have is discover interesting advice before it goes up so that we trigger it and we start discussing how can we trigger policy from in the GNSO, from inside the GNSO, so that when advice goes up, there is something from the GNSO also going up So that the board said, wow, we need to act. It's not just an advice. You see, that's the goal that I have. If I'm going to reach that goal, I don't know. I hope that everybody is going to help me. But that clarifies the reason why you need two structures from the same communities, but having different roles. And that's, I think, the clearest message that we need to give. We have specific roles, and we have to accomplish the task that we have. I see Klaus, you have your hand up.
Klaus, for the record, thank you very much, Jean-Jacques, for that. The ICANN I joined is completely different from the ICANN I'm in today. The ICANN I joined was where the community made decisions for the community. And when you're talking about the global outreach and so on, and I know you're doing all a brilliant job, but I think what is missing is that the engagement of the respective community in that outreach. And I want to give you, and I'm sorry that I'm boring the others because we talked about that before, I give you a straightforward example. We did 5 FJ16 community funding requests. And they are all about support community content, online resource center, outreach and awareness video clips, and everything we just talked about. And to our surprise and pleasure, we got all 5 granted. And then we had a meeting this week with Rob and basically to talk about how we can implement them, and then it came exactly what you just said. Okay, we can give you a room, we can pay you for something like that, we can provide in kind, yeah? But this is not my reality. My reality is that that if I want to implement that, I get 9/10 of the cost in kind from ICANN, and I have to fundraise the other 9/10. And that's a reality also with the community events which we are trying to do in Pathfinder and so on. It is actually quite easy to cover the cost for catering, for room, for Adobe Acrobat and so on, because the sponsors are interested in sponsoring that. But what is nearly impossible is to cover the administrative costs of a program, to really the work which goes on, the preparation, the travel, and all that stuff. And I think that there is a base mistake in there. I think we can save a hell of a lot of money on things like catering rooms and all that what is offered in kind. And I think to be clever in ICANN, we should actually put the money where it's needed and where it has the biggest effect. And that is something which is a base problem we have at the moment. And it is just, and it wouldn't have happened. It really wouldn't have happened if the global outreach team and so on. I know you did a lot of consultation, and I've been part of some consultations. And we said it several times, but it just was never listened to. And now we are in that situation where we can do the events, but we might not do them in the context of ICANN anymore, which is really harmful.
Thank you, Klaus. Jean-Jacques, I give you the floor to respond. Just to keep clear that people will come in quite soon, so we have
I'll try to be very quick. I think one of the key things, as we look to be much more structured in how we do this, as I said, the past 12 months have been pilots. And going forwards, one of the things that we want to look at is indeed making the links with all the other teams, because, for instance, I'm not directly responsible for the crop program, just as one example, or some of the other funding streams that might come to the various constituencies. So in terms of our roadmap, that includes liaising better within staff to try and see, well, okay, they've made, NPOC have been granted at request, for instance, by the board, and then we've got travel funding mechanisms and this and that. How can we just make that better? At the moment, for instance, I don't have a dedicated civil society budget. So that's just simply put, we need to work it out. We haven't been told by the board, you've got a pocket of money for civil society engagement. Just as an example, so there's a few things that we need to do. It's going to take a little bit longer, and we're going to try and sort it out. But, we're not... this is a new stream of work in ICANN, and we know we need to improve it. So please do continue to give me feedback, and I'll do what I can. There's another point you raised earlier about sort of, I guess, cohesiveness in a way of how we do this. There were a lot of events this week in relation to civil society, and I think we could have been much better at communicating around it. So, for instance, there was supposed to be networking drinks for all of civil society, all the various groups, so the free, you know, ANAC and CSG as a whole. And I don't think everybody realized that there were those drinks, those networking drinks on Saturday evenings. We had some people from ANAC, we had some people from NCUC, but I don't think anyone from NPOC came. And I'm sorry about that. We can improve in the future. But.
In the meeting in Saturday?
Saturday at 6.
Yes, I was in the table.
Oh, you were there. Good. Okay, good. So you were there at least. But we can find a way to make sure that, for instance, we flag it up to you in advance so you can mention it on your mailing list, that sort of thing. So, there's a lot of learnings from these meetings. Thank you.
Exactly. Thank you, Jean-Jacques. I see a hand raised from somebody that we didn't hear yet. Please state your name. And.
Yeah, my name is Shavkat Sabirov. I'm from Kazakhstan. I represent the Internet Association of Kazakhstan. I agree with Jean-Jacques. It's really new. Based on my experience, for example, when we've got consultative status at UN, I've just checked how many NGOs has the world internet, just internet society worldwide, no any NGO. For example, in OSCE meetings, conference, experience, there is no any NGO related to internet field. It was just only one NGO. It's still our company. For example, right now I just came from Beijing for NGO forum in Asia. Not any NGO in Asia which is related to internet. And also, I'd like to agree again with Jean-Jacques that it's really new. It's a new stream, and we have to build, we have to say, we have to show what we can do and how we can do. So I think it's a new role, it's a new mission, what we have to do, and also it's my first visit at ICANN meeting. It looks like you try to see everywhere and just to understand. That's why we're just looking around, just listening. However, for NGO, I think we have to build our community. And for example, in OSCE, just the government and civil society. No one else, no business, no end users, no one. Just only government and civil society. And in Asia region, it's just a government, a civil society. Everywhere, every time, it's civil society. So I agree the third time, this fourth point, civil society. We have to.
Thank you. Very quick response to that one, Klaus, for the record. Jean-Jacques asked us to work on a list of civil society organizations which have internet basically in their genetics and in their statutes. And for Asia-Pacific, I've got a list of 24. These organizations exist. The major problem here is that they don't even know that we exist.
Well, to make it simple, for instance, we have been trying to figure out region by region, and the NGO culture is less recognized in the Asian world. For instance, in China, yet, no way you cannot have an NGO. So we also triggered the fact that we needed to define what an NGO is and how it operates, and eventually look at structures that are NGO-alike. If they have the same objectives, if they are not for profits, they can also fit in our scope. I don't want to limit it just to NGOs. We need to widen up because it's clear we are missing a lot of them. And the reason is because we are not clear in who we want to have as a member. And maybe that's also something we need to work on. But I know Joan has in her action list, and we discussed this in previous XCOM meetings already, she has in her action list a plan to do a campaign to allow NGOs and alikes to understand why we are there and how they can fit in our plan. Because that's, I think, quite important. So I would like to round up because we are already over time. I'm quite happy that we didn't work kick out. One conclusion that I already make is for Dublin, we need a one-day constituency day because a half day doesn't work anymore. And I think Lars also knows that we are each time not having enough time to discuss all our points, which is clear. I can tell you, I got the confirmation just half an hour ago, for Dublin, I propose to have a roundtable meeting with ALAC, with government, I have already from government half commitment, and us, to put an accent and emphasize NGO in the internet governance discussions. Why a government? Because I've asked this to my governments already. Do you know NGOs? Do you know what they do? Do you know what problems they have to be present in the web, in the internet? Do you know that? So my question would be in Dublin for the governments, tell us what problems you see popping up in your country, in your government, related to NGOs, and bring them to us. And together with ALAC, we will try to help them getting integrated. That's the bridge builder that I am. And that's the plan, and I got commitment from ICANN staff that there is already one full day booked in the agenda to get that in, Glenn. But it's not yet defined when, but she already asked for a one day block to see where can we fit it in the schedule. I know that it is very difficult, and you have to plan 2 days up, 2 years upfront to get your meeting scheduled. So I would like to thank you all for your participation. It was great. It's helpful. And please continue to kick us if we don't do what you want us to do.
Rudy, if I could just ask you guys over here if you could sign so we can communicate with you. We'd like to communicate.
Yeah, just the present list. And I would like to thank ICANN staff, Lars, who is always helping us gracefully, and also the technical team, because it's helpful if you can communicate with people that are... We had people online that are participating, and we're quite happy with what we have been discussing. So thank you all, and don't forget, call on us. Thank you. You can stop the recording.